This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. You can't tell the story of soul music without telling the story of High Records, the Memphis-based label that brought us Al Green, Ann Peebles, Otis Clay, and O.V. Wright. My guest, Willie Mitchell, gave the label its sound. He discovered and signed the most important artists, arranged their music, and produced their sessions in a studio he designed. You can hear the results of his work in a new 3-CD box set called High Records, The R&B Years. High Records was founded in 1957 by several musicians who had worked at the Memphis-based label Sun Records, the home of Elvis Presley, in collaboration with a group of Memphis businessmen. In its first few years, High specialized in instrumentals. Willie Mitchell was a trumpeter and bandleader when he joined the label in 1963. He stayed with High through 1977. Mitchell is still producing records in Memphis. Here's one of the great records he made with Al Green.
Is all right with me, 'cause you make me feel so brand new.
Willie Mitchell, welcome to Fresh Air. Before we talk about the history of High Records and your life, I want to start with a story of how you first met Al Green, whose records you produced. How did you first meet him?
Well, met Al in 1969. I had a record called Soul Serenade. And I was working in, had a gig in Midland, Texas. And Al Green was stranded down there. And he asked me could he sing a couple of songs to get back to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I told him yes. So when he started to sing, he was going to sing two songs. I heard his voice, and I told him, I said, come here, kid. I said, you could be a star. I said, why don't you come back and go back to Memphis with me? He said, how long would it take? I said, probably 18 months. He said, I don't have that long. But anyway, when the gig was over, the van we were riding in got blocked in. And we were sitting there, and Al came up and knocked on the window of the van and said, still take 18 months? I said, yeah, a year and a half. He didn't say anything. So the car moved, and we started to go out the driveway of the club. And he came and knocked on the window and got in the car.
And he went with you to Memphis?
I brought him to Memphis, right.
So did you really believe that he would be a star in 18 months?
I did. We worked very hard, but 18 months on the dot, we hit the first gold record, Tired of Being Alone.
Now, what did you hear in his singing that made you think that he really was something?
I really don't know. You look for voices all the time. I had worked with everyone, but you look for voices, and he had that. He was, in fact, that time he was singing really hard. But he had something in his voice like an instrument. He had a pretty voice. And it wasn't falsetto, it wasn't baritone, he had that sound. And I knew he could make it.
Now I think the first recording that you made with him was the Beatles song, I Wanna Hold Your Hand.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that?
I don't know. We were looking for something, really, myself and Al were looking for something. I was looking for something that, to give him a sound. And he wanted a record out, so I said, well, we'll do one that we know was a hit. So we've done that record.
Well, why don't we play it? This is Al Green singing I Wanna Hold Your Hand, produced by my guest Willie Mitchell.
Something to you, I wanna hold your hand. tell me, I want to hold.
You had told Al Green it would take him 18 months to be a star. How far did this recording get him toward that stardom?
Well, that record never sold a few records, and then we escalated from there to other things. You Say It, so many things we've done before we got to the status of Tired of Being Alone.
You know, Tired of Being Alone, is that the recording that you think really established his sound, both as a songwriter and a singer, and maybe your sound as a producer as well?
Right. I think that was the beginning.
This has not only great singing, but it has a great arrangement behind him. Did you do the arrangement yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what went into that arrangement, into the horns and the backup singers?
Well, I used to be a jazz player. And we always use strange chords, not regular chords that other people use. And I think we had some minor nines in there that people weren't using then. So the arrangement was built on chords that really weren't used in R&B records.
More of jazz chords?
More jazz chords, right.
What about the backup singers that come in? How did you decide to use backup singers, and what kind of sound were you looking for in those singers?
Well, you're speaking of Don and Sandra Rhodes. They used to have a country show. They come on every Saturday, and I'd watch them. And they were like 16, 17 years old. And we had the studio way over in the ghetto. So I called their mother, and I said, Your children have really good sound with their voice. I said, I'd like to come over to the studio and work with them. She said, I don't know about that. But anyway, sooner or later, they came to the studio, Donna and Sandra Rhodes. And we began to do some background on different things, and they sounded great. And I loved the sound. They went to the Bee Gees. They sang for everybody. Frank Sinatra and everybody.
Now, I'm surprised that the singers that first captured your attention were country singers.
What's the sound they had? It's the sound they had. I was trying to really do something that no one else had done in Memphis. And once I put that together and put the right musicians together, I had a sound that was different. But still, had feel to it.
You said you were putting together a sound nobody else had done before. What was different about your sound?
Well, we're speaking of Al Green things. I was trying to get Al Green to sound jazzy on top and softer, and the band to be thunder on the bottom of it and pretty in the middle. And that's what Don and Summer, Don and Rose and them done. They were pretty in the middle, and we had Al Jackson on drums, and it was thundering out of the bottom, and Al was on top doing jazz chords and everything. So that was the difference.
You know what I find amusing? You know, there's so many white singers who have hired African American backup singers to help them sound soulful, and here you're producing something with, gosh, maybe the most soulful singer, you know, that I've ever heard, Al Green, and you're getting these white country singers to sing backup for him.
Right.
It's funny.
Well, they had the voices. They weren't country alone. In fact, as we began to cut records, hit records, they sound like soul sisters.
Let's hear Al Green singing Tired of Being Alone, produced by my guest, Willie Mitchell.
I'm so tired of being alone. I'm so tired of on my own. Won't you help me?
it's a natural fact that I wanna come back. Show me where it's at.
Now, when you were recording with Al Green, would you do a lot of takes usually with him?
Whole lots of takes with Al, yeah.
It's funny because it sounds so spontaneous.
Well, I've noticed some takes, like 100 hours, to get it like we wanted to, you know, like we wanted to be.
Did you say 100 hours?
100 hours.
What would you do in those 100 hours?
Sing over and over and again, over and again to see if we could make it better.
What would better be? Did you want more urgency in his voice? More emotion?
Emotion. We're still in emotion. And sometimes it wasn't there. And we still until we get it. Sometimes days.
No, what would you do to try to get more emotion into his voice? Would you just tell him you wanted more?
No, we'd go to the piano and we'd talk about it. And we'd say, different phases of the song, so we're going to do this, and this is what we should be doing here, and we try it again, so no, that's not it, let's go back and sit down again, and we discuss it, and so let's take a break, and sooner or later it would come, and when it come, I said, oh, this is what I've been looking for.
Would he be annoyed with you when you'd say, that's not it yet, let's do it again?
He's gotten annoyed with me a couple of times. You know. Yeah, he's gotten real annoyed. He left the studio one night, so he's never coming back. But about 30 minutes, he's back.
Did you think maybe he wouldn't come back?
No, I knew he's coming back.
How did you feel when Al Green gave up singing secular music and he became a preacher?
Well, you know, I didn't really feel good because he came to my house about 2 o'clock in the morning and said he was going to do it. And I told him, look, Al, I don't know anything about gospel music, and I don't want to be a part of it.
You've worked with him since then.
Oh, yeah, I done one album with him on A&M.
Have you often tried to convince him to sing more secular songs again?
No, I never... I never try to tell him anything about his life as far as that, his religion or what have you. He knows I'm always there for him if he need me.
Have you gone to his church to hear him preach there?
Of course.
Is it great?
It's like a concert.
I figure, yeah. Willie Mitchell is my guest, the former vice president and record producer at the Memphis label High Records, and there's a new High CD box set. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with record producer Willie Mitchell, and we're talking about a new CD box set of soul music recordings, soul and rhythm and blues, on the High Record label. Willie Mitchell, how did you first join High Records?
Oh, that's funny. I had a real popular band in Memphis. We used to work at in Arkansas across the river,
mm-hmm.
a club called Danny's Club, and it became real famous because Bill Black used to come in, Elvis would come in.
Yeah, Bill Black used to play with Elvis.
Yeah, he was his bass player. So they decided to make a record with High Records, and I had a piano player named Joe Hall. He was real good, and they wanted to use him, so I carried him to High. And they made a record called Smokey Part 2. And it was a big seller. And after that, they were trying to come up with other hit records. They couldn't do it, so they called me, and I became Bill Black's arranger. And that's how I got into High.
So you started recording your own band at High Records.
Right.
You did mostly instrumentals. In fact, why don't we hear one of the instrumentals you recorded? This was Soul Serenade, which was a hit for you in 1968.
Right.
It's one of your compositions. Why don't we hear it?
Good.
Now, back when you first got to High Records and you were recording and producing instrumentals, what was the record label like?
It was like two guys, myself and Ray Harris. That's what it was like. We'd stay there all night. We'd come up with something. We'd call Joe, and Joe said, he'd approve it, and he'd put it on the street.
Now, had you worked with recording technology before?
No, not really, no.
So did you teach yourself?
I taught myself, right.
Were there mistakes you made early on before you learned the ropes?
Well, I made mistakes, but I didn't make them once.
Well, what's one of the mistakes that you made?
Well, I told a guy once, I said, you know, you a great producer, but you taught me more than anybody I've known. He said, what did I teach you? I said, you taught me not to never make a record like you make it.
What was the record?
I'm not going to tell you.
Was there a special way you had of miking Al Green's voice? And did you mic him any differently on Can't Get Next to You?
No. I had one mic, a DX-77 mic I used on Al all the time. And I wouldn't let anybody else use the mic. And I had a setting on it. I'd keep it there all the time. And it's the mic he sang all of his records on.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Willie Mitchell. He was vice president and producer at High Records. And there's a new High Records box set called High Times. Now, you grew up in Memphis, right?
Right.
What kind of music did you hear when you were growing up?
A whole lot of bebop music. Everybody wanted to be Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, including myself. Then there was a guy came from Chicago. He lived in Memphis, named Unze Horn. He went to school with Quincy Jones and Billy Strayhorn. He came to Memphis. He changed the whole picture of music in Memphis. He organized a big band, and this guy was so great. He won of my idols. He taught me everything. In fact, that's his arrangement on Cher for Isaac Hayes.
Oh, really? That's a great... I love that arrangement.
Yeah, that's... Unze Horn, he passed away a while back. But he had a lot of influence. He influenced me a lot by teaching me. In fact, I lived with him for 3 years when I was 16.
So he taught you a lot about arranging.
Oh, yeah. He taught me everything.
So when you were growing up, tell me something about what your family was like.
Well, it was my mother and my father and nine kids in two rooms.
Did they appreciate your practicing trumpet when you were so cramped together?
Well, my mother did. My father told me to go put the horn up. It's too much noise. But mother, she always said, do what you want to do.
I think you got your first trumpet when you were 8. How did you get it?
Well, my cousin came down from Michigan to live with us a while. And he was a trumpet player in one of the clubs up in Detroit, I believe. And I'd watch him play his horn, and I wanted a trumpet, but nobody had the money. So 1 year later, when I was 8, my brother bought me a trumpet. And that's how I started.
What have you been doing in the past few years musically?
Well, we have a studio in Memphis. What we do is, it's more of a rental studio. We cut a lot of gospel albums, a lot of blues albums. It's a studio where people come in for our services, and that's what I've been doing most of the time.
Why don't we end with somebody who we haven't heard from yet? Why don't we end with a recording by O.V. Wright? Tell us something about him and how he ended up recording for you.
Well, every record O.V. made, I was a producer on it, all except one. And he was recording for, it went from Peacock to ABC to High Records. He just stayed with me until he passed away. And I also think he's one of the greatest blues singers ever lived.
Willie Mitchell, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Done done got into something I can't shake it loose. No.
Willie Mitchell is a former producer and vice president of High Records. There's a new CD box set retrospective of his productions called High Records, The R&B Years. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.